Welcome to the Swirl World Podcast, brought to you by theswirlworld.com. We're here to help you navigate the exciting world of interracial and intercultural relationships. Whether you've been involved in an interracial relationship for a long time, or you're new to the idea of swirling someone of another race or culture, this is the podcast for you. Here are your hosts, Michelle Matthews-Colloway and Adrian London-Leach.
Greetings, and welcome to another edition of the Swirl World Podcast. I'm Michelle Matthews-Calloway.
And I'm Adrian London-Leach.
And here on the podcast, we discuss topics of interest to men and women who are involved in interracial and intercultural relationships, subjects ranging from dating to marriage to everything in between. We also do our best to bring you the best and brightest people and the most interesting topics, all designed to enhance your life as a swirler.
Well, today we have a very special guest, someone I know we both admire and we love. And why don't you, Michelle, tell us a little bit about our guest today?
All right, Adrian. This guest, I have to say, is near and dear to my heart for just so many reasons. I give her the distinction of being the very first person whose blog I subscribed to way back, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago now. And that was back when she was single girl in a weird world. And I was just so drawn by her blog and just her take on life. She was just so real in what she was sharing. And I could just relate to her on so many levels. And I kept reading her blogs and continued reading even when she became married girl in a weird world. And she stands out as a leading blogger in the online interracial blogging scene. So without further ado, I bring to you Mrs. Eugenia Berg. And Eugenia, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here and honored to be here. Thank you both for having me on the show.
Now, we know that you're a busy wife, you're soon to be a mother, you're a vlogger, and you're a blogger. So we just want you to know we appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule and just coming on the show with us today.
Oh, not a problem. Thank you guys for inviting me to be on. It's been kind of slow in the blogging world now that I'm pregnant, and today officially 6 months pregnant.
We have 3 more months left. Just 3 months left. Yeah. Put it that way.
Yeah. We only got 3 more months left. But I'm really happy to be here and to, you know, talk to you guys and talk to the audience for the Swirl World and everything. And so I'm really excited to be here.
So now, Eugenia, why don't you, for our listeners who may not have been active online or know very much about interracial bloggers, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself?
Well, of course, my name is Eugenia Berg, and I have been married to my husband, Matt Berg, for now it's almost, well, when the babies get here, it'll be 3 years. We've known each other for 5, but I was married previously for 9 years, and I've been dating and sort of swirling, you know, dating and mating with the swirl here now since 92, since I first really started dating, so, you know, big time dating. And I live in Seattle, Washington, and I can honestly say this has got to be one of the swirl capitals of the United States. Okay, there are many, many, many swirl couples here of every type you could think of, they're here. And and that's why I love living here, because this place is, you know, when I'm out and about, nobody is the least bit concerned about me and my husband or what we're doing. And I mean, nobody, people could care less and stuff. You know, every once in a while you get a little look here or there, but nobody really says anything. And really, as time has gone by, it becomes less and less, you know, I'm less and less just don't care, or it's just less, and people are just less and less sort of concerned about mm-hmm. what it is that you're doing and stuff, you know. So I love living here. I tell somebody, I think about living other places, but then I think, oh, this, it's such an awesome place to live, and it's so beautiful here, you know, even with all the rain. It's not worth it for me to, it's not worth it for me to move, not right now.
Absolutely.
Not right now. I'm okay. I'm cool. Okay.
That's great. So how did you meet your husband? And by the way, how did you, because if I remember something you said, you're not originally from the Washington State area.
No.
So how did you meet your husband, and how did you get to the Washington State area?
Well, I moved to Washington State in 1992. I was in college, and my mom was getting ready. She had decided she wanted to move. I was in college. I was 20. I was in college, and my mom was like, well, you know, your brother and I are going to move to Seattle. And she's like, now, you're more than welcome to stay here and finish college. I was going to college in San Antonio. She's like, you're more than welcome to finish college and stuff. She's like, or you can come with us. Well, of course, me being a mama's child, my father died. My father died when I was very young, when I was 9.
Mm-hmm.
And so me being a mama's child, I was like, oh no. And so when she left, when she was packed up, we packed up everything we had, and we left and moved here. And, you know, and so I've, you know, been living here ever since. My brother still lives here. He's married and has a child of his own. And my mom still is living here, and she's now retired, as happy as a lark being retired and stuff. And then I had other family that that lived here. And I actually had family that lived here before I came here that we just didn't really know that well.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Since we were living in Texas, mm-hmm. we just didn't really know all of them that well and stuff. My mom knew them, but we didn't know them as kids and stuff. So, and got to know them and stuff. So I got to meet this whole other half of my family, which was really awesome. I met Matt via a online dating, and I'd gotten divorced, and I wasn't really sure I wanted to date anymore. But when I decided to use online dating. I'd never online dated before. I did, when I dated, it was the old-fashioned way. You had to go out, and you had to meet people, and you had to talk to folks and stuff, you know, or have a friend set you up or something like that and stuff. But I used online dating. And when I met him, I was about to stop online dating for a while because it hadn't been going that great. I hadn't been meeting the type of people I wanted to meet. And I was like, you know, I think maybe I need a break. That's why I recommend breaks. It's like, I think I need a break. This is not going the way I want it to go. But I said, but I'm going to give this online dating site I'm gonna give it a chance, and we'll see what happens. Well, I met him, and I met someone else at the same time. Both he and the other person were really nice, but I was just trying to figure out who was serious, you know, who was actually, if I was gonna do this, if I was gonna date, who was gonna be serious. So I had these two people, and one of the things I learned later on in dating, actually from all people, Patty Stanger, was you should always, if you're dating, you should always have a pair and a spare, she called it. You should be dating multiple people at once, because that way you don't get too invested in one person and stuff, you know, and if things kind of turn out not great, you know, and stuff, and you're tragically heartbroken because you've invested all your time in this one person. And so I didn't have the spare, but I did have the pair. And so I was going out with them just trying to figure out who was serious. And it turns out the other person really wasn't that serious. He was, you know, involved with doing some other stuff and, you know, kind of wishy-washy here and there. So I was just like, oh, okay. It wasn't really like tragic, you know, like, oh my God. I was just like, oh, okay. And turns out that Matt was. He really was serious about finding a relationship and somebody to be involved with and stuff. And so we got to know each other and dated, you know, for a while. And I met his family, and then he met my family. And when you meet my family, I'm really serious about dating you. I don't just let anybody meet my family and stuff. So when he met my family, I was just like, okay, we're seriously dating. And we had the serious date talk after a couple of months. We had the are we dating talk, because I didn't want to assume. And I would recommend for anybody that you don't assume you're dating somebody unless you have the are we actually dating talk.
Yeah, you know, right.
And I was, yeah, and I was like, are we in a relationship, you know, and stuff. And I was like, because I don't want to just assume, you know, we're in a relationship and then turns out you're dating, you know, a bunch of other people or you got other. I was just like, so. And so we had the are we serious, and we decided yes, we're in a serious dating relationship and stuff. And we were, that was it. And I think it must have been maybe a year or so after we started dating, and we had gone to Mexico for a trip, and he asked me to marry him. It happened really fast. Everything happened sort of fast and stuff. And he was like, you know, I'd really like to, you know, for us to be married. And he got on his knees.
Ooh.
He got on one knee in the Mexican Puerto Vallarta moonlight.
All
and
right.
Asked me, ooh, to,
wow,
marry him.
Oh.
And stuff. And so it was really romantic, and I was really sort of surprised. I was expecting maybe he would, because we had been talking about marriage. He'd been talking about marriage and getting married and us getting married and what it would be like for us to get married. And I always tell women that's a good sign when they start talking about you and marrying you and the future with you. And you know, when we live in the house together, or when we go on other vacations together, or when we have children together. We weren't talking about children, but when people start talking, right, about you in the future tense, that,
right,
means they're,
mm-hmm,
really, they see a future with you, mm-hmm, and stuff. And it doesn't take that long for people to figure out, yeah, I'm trying to snatch this woman off the market, because if I don't, some other man's going to come around and
yeah,
try to take my
Hey, but that's true.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
true. When men, and I love what you said, not when you started talking about we.
No.
But
uh-uh.
When he started talking about we, you knew, okay, we got some seriousness going on here.
And
yeah.
Can you please just kind of talk about that just a little bit more? Because we see so much, it's almost heartbreaking, and then it's aggravating at the same time. We see so much of women doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, we do. We see women doing all the work and doing all the I love you and all the, you know, the weird part is they, you know, they have the rules thing. And I didn't know anything about the rules. But the more I learned about it, the more I was like, oh, maybe I was a rules person that just didn't know she was a rules person. But I had learned those lessons from my first marriage, from having a really tough time in my first marriage and all the stuff that I'd done in that relationship. And when I got out of it, I did a whole sort of, okay, let me figure out how this all went completely wrong, how this relationship, how this marriage went wrong and stuff. So I don't end up doing that again. And that was one of the things, was that I was pursuing him. I was running after him. I was just, you know, I was running after him, trying to make him feel some way about me that he really did not feel, you know, and stuff. And it wasn't until many years, as crazy as that sounds, many years later that I figured out, you know what, this person really, I don't think he ever really loved me. And I definitely don't think he ever liked me and stuff as a person. And I'm pursuing, trying to make it happen. When really what I should have been doing is sitting back and waiting, you know, waiting for him to pursue me. That's really what, you know, that's really what men want to do. And I don't care what man it is. I don't care if he's the biggest extrovert of extroverts. I don't care if he's the shyest man ever. When a man really wants something, he's going to make it happen. He's going to figure out a way to make that happen. And mm-hmm. if he really wants a woman, he'll pursue a woman. There are I call it, there are really, there's only a couple of types of men. There are ones who go after what they want, you know. There are ones who just don't do anything and sort of move to the side. And then there are lazy men who just won't do anything and let you do all the work and stuff, you know. And if you call yourself, you know, and hey, you know, men will let you do the work. It's great for them, although they're not really going to stick around and they're not going to be as invested in the relationship as you are. But hey, it's great for them. They get all this. They get this woman pursuing them. In many cases, they get this woman having sex with them. They get this woman doing all this work and she's, you know, buying stuff. And hey, well, I mean, really, you know, people only treat you the way you let them.
You let them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
we
it.
Are, so, yep. You're 100%. Yeah, so. We are 100 on that, Eugenia. I think Michelle and I were talking. I think we were talking just recently about, at least for me, I still don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get these. A lot of the ladies, they will find some guy. They'll go see him. They'll spend all their money. They will do just what you said. They will pursue. Say they're in a relationship. And I always tell Michelle, I tell her this, it has happened 100% of the time. I said, you know what? She's going to do all that stuff. They're going to break up because he doesn't care. She's going to come back. She going to come on our page, and I'm going to have to block her because she's going to be saying stuff like, all these men are the same. They use you. And I'm thinking, well, didn't you tell me several months ago, instead of him coming, something as simple as this, Eugenia, let him in a safe place come to you.
Yeah.
Let him come to you. Hey, I've even said, and Michelle knows this because I sometimes when people will write in, I'll write them back and I'll just, you know, say what's on my heart to them. And I say it every time. You're in a, I call it an electronic relationship, which I have no problem with. It's okay to meet online. It's fine, you know, but at some point, you know, you have to meet. But you know what I tell them?
Personally.
I'll say, oh, here's what they'll say. We talk every day. And you know what I say? Well, you need to stop doing that. Because occasionally, you need to be unavailable. Because men like mystery. They like challenges.
Yeah.
They like to think, even though they may say, I want you available all the time, they be available all the time and see how they treat you. But every now and then when they call and you phone goes a voice, you don't pick it up for 2 or 3 days, you busy, trust me, they'll get back with you if they're interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what Michelle and I talk about.
Yeah, it's just, it's one, it's the thing is, either you got one or two things that'll happen. Either he'll be like, oh, well, I don't want to do that. And he'll go somewhere else.
Correct.
Or he will start to do the work that he needs to do to pursue you. I mean, really, you don't lose. I mean, in this case, you don't lose. And I part of the reason I do a lot of this is because I have nieces and I have these. I have a cousin who's in her 20s that's going to college, and two nieces. One is 17 and one is 18, and they're gorgeous. I mean, these gorgeous girls that I love to death that I do not want to see in really tragic circumstances with a bunch of jerks. Okay, I don't want them to have to go through some of the stuff that I went through. Oh, and learn the hard way. I mean, I was young when I met my ex-husband. I was young and just sort of stupid. I just, you know, that's the best I can say. Just sort of young and just sort of stupid, you know, and stuff, and wanting to do my own thing. And my mom would tell me stuff, you know, and she would say stuff, and then I'd be like, oh, whatever. You know, because I'm stubborn. I'm not going to lie. I've always been stubborn. I've always been a stubborn person. And she would tell me stuff, and she would say stuff to me, and I would just, you know, roll my eyes and be like, whatever, you don't know what you're talking about and stuff. And now that I've gotten older and think back, you know, my mama was right. My mama was right when she said what she said, you know, and stuff. And my mom was like, you know, she's like, I know, she said, I know you didn't want to listen to me and stuff. She said, but she said, I wanted to tell you as much as I could. She said, sometimes I didn't tell you stuff. She said, because I knew you wouldn't listen to me. She said, sometimes I would just leave it alone. I wouldn't say anything, you know, and stuff, because I knew you wouldn't listen to me or listen to what I was saying when I was telling you stuff about some of the folks that you were dating and some of the stuff that you were going through, you know. And I would tell her stuff, you know, and then she would tell me something, and then I'd be like, oh, I'm not listening to you. I'm not going to take that advice. But, you know, now I know she was so right about so many things when it came to, you know, when it came to dating. And so I try to tell my nieces, because they're, because I love them, you know, and stuff. Mm-hmm. I want them to know, and I want other Black women to know, because I love them, you know, and stuff. And what I was seeing happening with the online, I mean, the interracial dating thing, was a lot of Black women were opening up their options, which I was like, woohoo, great, all right, awesome. But what I also was seeing was, okay, some of these women, they don't know how to date. And that, and that doesn't really, it doesn't matter about who the, you know, whether you were dating a Black guy or a white guy or an Asian guy or whatever and stuff. If you don't know how to date, you're really, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to, you know, and what I was also seeing was women didn't know how to date, and men were, you know, it was great. You know, you saw more guys that were saying, you know, oh, I'm open to, you know, yeah, I'm open to dating Black women. But you also saw a bunch of little slickster dudes mm-hmm. who were just, you know, who were just waiting for women who were really desperate and lonely. And here was a set of women who had, a lot of them had been rejected by people that, you know, looked like them, you know, and stuff. Right, and so what they were really waiting for, all you had to do, as my friend says, is say two nice words, and they were gone. They were yours to command. They were yours to command mm-hmm. and stuff, you know. And what I was thinking was, okay, oh, what I want to see is women who feel better about themselves, who feel worthy, who have let go of all the pain of whatever past that they've lived, you know, and stuff, or the pain that some of them have experienced being rejected by their community, you know, and rejected mm-hmm. by men that look like you and stuff. I wanted to see that go, and for them to have good self-confidence. And for a bunch of people, I kept saying, ooh, so don't date nobody. Stop. Don't date nobody. Nobody. Don't Absolutely. Date anyone. Just Absolutely. Don't. I was hearing stuff from women, and I was like, please stop dating. Don't date anybody, because you're not at a good place where you need to be dating people. That's just, you know, you're not at a place where you need to be dating people. And I don't want you to go over here, as my grandma used to say, jump out of the frying pan into the fire.
Mm-hmm. I know that one.
and you're over here and you're dating interracially, and it's just as bad as it was over here. And you're wondering, well, how did this happen? You know, and stuff. Some stuff is just us having to figure out, okay, how do I date? How do I vet people? You know, because I kept hearing a bunch of people saying, well, how do you vet people? What is that? How do you vet people and stuff? And I was like, well, there's a lot of stuff out there about vetting people. And I did a little short, I think a short series, it wasn't that long, mm-hmm. about how do you vet people and stuff. And then I did the last thing I did before I kind of, you know, took this blog down, was I was reading a book called Boundaries. And I was really taken by the book and by, you know, how many people I knew that had such poor boundaries, especially Black women, that just had poor boundaries. They had mm-hmm. poor boundaries with everybody. They had mm-hmm. poor boundaries with family. They had mm-hmm. poor boundaries with friends. They had mm-hmm. poor boundaries with coworkers. They had poor boundaries in love. They just had poor boundaries. Right. And how important it was to have better boundaries and really get at the essence of these women to have better boundaries and to stop being so codependent and thinking that all of, you know, you had to do all the work. You have to do all the effort. You have to make all the, you know, everything's your fault. Everything's on you, you know, and stuff, you know. I thought, I want to help, not only help Black women dating, I just want to help them be the women they want to be, better women, you know, right. and stuff. Right. You know, I was just, you know, because what I was seeing was, it was tragic. It was hurting me. It was hurting my feelings. I didn't want to have this thing where I was going to be a bully, that I was going to be this thing and telling Black women how awful we all are, and that's why nobody wants us. Well, no, we really aren't. We really are really awesome women, but we've just been told for so long, well, yeah, nobody wants you, and you're not anything, and you're not worthy, and you're not this, and you're not that, and this is your fault, and that's your fault. And, you know, I mean, literally, you know, my mom and I were talking about it maybe a week or two, and I was like, you've literally got everybody and their mama. You've got the family dog that's all jumping on Black women's back,
yeah,
and telling us how much we suck, and, you know, and stuff. And I was like, and after a while, it's just a lot to take, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff. And I was like, no, I'd rather try to be helpful, to give some steps. So, okay, here's how you do this. Here's how you recognize this. Here's how you recognize somebody that is abusive. This is how you recognize emotional abuse, because that was something that I had dealt with in my last relationship. And I had no idea I was being emotionally abused, like none. I had no clue. I knew something bad was happening, but I didn't really know what it was. And emotional abuse, and he was so subtle. Mm. It wasn't like he was screaming right. or hollering. Mm-hmm. He wasn't hitting me. He mm-hmm. wasn't. It was just so subtle that I just was like, I didn't know what was going on. And I mm-hmm. didn't know what was going on until I got out of the marriage and then realized, oh, my God, all these years, this is what's been going on with me and stuff. And so I wanted women to know how to recognize a man if he was a narcissist, how to recognize emotional abuse if you're being emotional abused. Because the emotional abuse didn't turn into physical abuse, but for a lot of people, that's what it turns into. It starts there, mm-hmm. and then it sort of eases into other sorts of abuse and stuff. And so, and then I wanted women to know how to set some boundaries and be okay telling people no, you know, and not having to explain to people when you told them no, you know, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. No, I'm not going to participate in that. And I don't have to. And I don't have to explain to you why.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And stuff. And getting some stuff to empower them. So, and then pushing the thing of, okay, now if you want to go out here and you want to date somebody and you want to pursue, you know, have a relationship with somebody, great. But, you know, here we are with people literally with no basic nothing, no self-confidence, no self-worth, no healthy boundaries, you know, no ability to recognize if somebody is trying to manipulate you and, you know, and abuse you. No, nothing, really nothing, not even basic stuff, you know. And I didn't want to send anybody out here talking about, oh, well, go out here and find a white guy and it'll all be all good, you
right.
know, and
right.
stuff. I didn't want to send anybody out with that, mm-hmm. with that, you know, with that lie, because I knew that was a lie. After dating 20 years, dating interracially, I knew, listen, if you don't watch out, these dudes will, they'll get you. Okay. They'll get
they
you.
Will.
They'll get
they
you.
Will.
You yeah. know, mm-hmm. and
they
stuff.
Will.
And if you didn't, you know, if you didn't do that, if you didn't have the basic stuff, these, you know, it didn't matter about him being, you know, who he was, you know, he'd still, you'd still end up in some really crappy relationship with some
right.
dude you know, or you'd end up in a series of crappy relationships. Just his face and his name would change. That would be it and stuff, you know. And I certainly didn't want that for black women. I wanted black women to realize, listen, you're the prize. When all this happens at the end of the day, you're the prize. He's not the prize. And this thing that I kept hearing when I first started was, you got a white man. Girl, you just so lucky. And I'm thinking, who, what? What?
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
What?
Lucky.
And, I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm just like, what? Yeah, he's lucky he got me. He's lucky he got me. That's the thing. He should be, and I mean, I know it may sound crazy, but I say it all the time. You know, my husband should be on his knees, and is on his knees really every night, thanking God I came his way. Okay, you know, I'm the prize.
Yes.
I'm the one. You know, and for black women, it really wasn't like that when it was coming to, you know, when people were talking about, especially for interracial relationships, these dudes, and you know, black women, you know, we're just at the bottom of the totem pole. That kind of talk, I'm like, listen, I don't even want to hear all that. I don't even delve in that sort of, I'm not the bottom of nothing.
Exactly.
Okay, you know, I'm not the bottom. I don't even, people say that. I'm just like, I'm blocking you. I'm blocking you out. I'm blocking you out because I'm not the bottom of anything.
And you're not. And we aren't. And the thing I love about what I would read and I'd listen to you on your blog is that even though you were talking to all of us as black women, because you loved us and you wanted to give us advice, the thread that ran through it was colorless. What you were requiring or what you were telling us is look for some character people, have some standards, get some boundaries, because color is not going to be the main thing. I always call it my enhancement. It's just something great and additional to add to the relationship. But as you have said, Eugenia, if regardless of color, if you don't set boundaries, if you don't love yourself, if you don't have something going on in your life worth pursuing, it really doesn't matter whether he's white or black or Asian or Native American. You're still going to attract the same type of person regardless of his color. So you've got to dig deep and find out, what are my issues? And you know what? It is okay. If you have an issue that whatever it may be, you should own it and say, okay, let me see how I'm going to fix this. And I'm with you. Black women are a prize beyond measure. Because let me tell you, honey, when we are with our men, the men that love us, respect us, want to build a life with us, we are with them.
Yeah.
And they know it.
Yeah.
They know it. They know they will get anything they need and want and climb to the climb to the stars when they got women like us behind them, because we throw everything into the relationship. Yeah. But the key is throwing it into the right relationship.
Right relationship, And that's the thing is, I see all these wonderful, beautiful, dynamic, smart women, you know, and stuff. And I don't want to see them with the wrong type of people. You know, I mean, if I'm with you, I'm with you. If I'm down for you, I'm down for you. Me and you, it's it. You know, my husband is my number one. He is my number one, you know. I do anything for him. We are on each other's side all the time, and we don't have to do this, but if I had to turn against my own family, then I just have to turn against them, you know, and stuff.
I understand.
Because he is everything to me. He is, you know, and he's you know, my husband.
Right.
He is dedicated to me, and I am dedicated to him, and I'm all about making sure that what he needs, he gets. And he is all about making sure what I need, I get, you know, and stuff. It's not, you know, me being at home for the duration of my pregnancy with these twin boys I'm having is, you know, a lot of people are just like, wow, I wish I could have, you know, stayed. Before we even decided to do this, he was like, listen, because that was my desire. Now, I know not every woman who is going to have a baby or wants to have a baby or having a baby wants to be at home or wants to be a stay-at-home mom. But that was always my desire, was that if I was going to do this, I wanted to be at home with my children. Mm-hmm. It's no use in me going out here and stuff, you know. Now, after the children go to school, then when we come to that point, we'll discuss whether, okay, do you want to go back to work? Do you not want to go back to work, you know, and stuff? But I wanted to be there with them and stuff. And so he was like, and I mean, it wasn't anything I had to convince him of. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to persuade him to do anything. He was just like, okay, that's, you know, that, you know, that's what I want too. What you want is what
Absolutely.
I want.
Absolutely.
What you want is what I want. Okay. That's what I want too.
So she is a dating coach. So, I mean, I know you don't see yourself.
Yeah,
I never
thought of myself as a dating coach.
But I always left that alone.
I always left that title alone and said, I'm not a dating coach and stuff. But the hope is that I help people get out there and start the dating process and stuff. You know, it's not rocket science and stuff. But I think a lot of stuff unfortunately for Black women is that nobody's told us anything. You know, many of us, nobody's told us anything, nothing
correct.
At all. You know, nothing.
That's correct.
And, you know, and we're just kind of out there. A lot of us, you know, we're kind of out there flying blind, trying to figure out, well, how do I do this, you know, and stuff. It's particularly for interracial dating, you know, and stuff. And I know you guys want to ask me about what are the top things, kind of top three tips.
I want to hear them. What are your top three?
My first one was that, first of all, you have to be okay with you. You can't come into interracial dating with an inferiority complex.
Right.
That
correct.
Can't happen. Mm-hmm. You can't think of yourself as lesser than. You know, because as we know, with all the stuff that happened with the gentleman from the Clippers, racists will date you interracially. They'll do it.
They'll do it.
And you know, and if somebody's looking for somebody to abuse and make them feel bad and all this stuff, unless then, yeah, they'll do it. So you can't come into this with an inferiority complex. I'm not, and this is not to say anything bad against white people or anybody and stuff, but I'm not really particularly impressed. And let me tell you, you know, I love white men. I've always liked them and stuff. And they're, you know, and stuff. And really, I always liked all kinds of men. But, you know, I've always had the thing for blonde hair and blue eyes. Ever since I was second grade, that was the first time it happened. And I was so enamored with this little boy in second grade. And it just sort of took on a life of its own after that. So you can't come into this with some sort of inferiority complex. You have to feel good and feel positive about being a Black woman. And for most Black women I see that date interracially, they are. I love being a Black woman. I love, love, love. I do not have any desire to be any other woman in the world. I don't want to look like any other woman. I don't want to act like any other woman. I love being a Black woman. And I wanted somebody that appreciated me being a Black woman, you know,
right.
And stuff.
Right.
And surprisingly, it was usually some white guys that were just like, you know, they were, you know, and stuff. I'm, you know, that's just kind of how it happened and stuff. Another tip that I have for Black women that are dating interracially is you can't be intimidated if the man has dated other women, and I'm talking about other women of other races, because I met a lot of Black women who were really sort of scared at the thought if he hadn't dated a black woman, okay? And they were like, oh, is he a fetish? Is he doing fetish? Well, the fetish thing, you'll find out real quick. You mm-hmm. don't, he won't, listen, he won't keep that a secret for 2 seconds, okay? If That's he's right. like, you know, if he's doing that, he won't keep that a second for, he wants to keep that a secret for 2 seconds. He will let you know.
That's right.
That's what he's about. Okay, you know, and stuff. So you just have to kind of keep your listening ears on and stuff. But you can't be intimidated. First of all, if he's never dated, because a lot of times I was the first black woman that a lot of guys dated. And it was just sort of, they usually, because they didn't think black women dated white the guys.
That's
a bunch
it.
Of them. It was just a bunch.
It.
And it's not even this thing. It's like, that was the first thing they said. Oh, I didn't think you guys dated us. And I was always like, huh? And I was like, well, yeah, you know, people would say stuff, and I just kind of, you know, I just didn't think black women dated white men. I only thought you guys dated black men. And I was just like, oh, honey, no. I was like, no, it's just no. And you know, no. And so you can't be, you know, most guys, is particularly because I live on the, and I'm saying this really about the West Coast. I'm not really sure about it, but I know on the West Coast, guys here date everybody. They date a bunch of different women. I mean, you know, most of the guys that I've dated, they dated, you know, Asian women, and mm-hmm. some of them dated Hispanic women, and, you know, they dated white women. I mean, they dated everybody, you know, and stuff. And so some women would be like, well, he's never dated a black woman, or because he's dated these other women, they would be intimidated. I was never intimidated. Listen, if he wanted to date somebody else, he would. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's right.
And
that's
stuff.
Right.
So, you know, I was never kind of like trying to compare myself to, you know, another woman, or, you know, well, he's dated this type of woman, so maybe I won't measure up or stuff. But, you know, you have something special and really awesome about you that he's decided he wanted to date. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, stand in your authority, you know,
right.
you know, stand in the awesomeness that's you, you know, and stuff, you know, don't worry about that, about some other woman or some, stand in the awesomeness that's you, you know. And a third tip I've always had for especially black women coming into swirling, for this, the relationship is like any other relationship. It's not, you know, for about maybe 2 seconds, you two will be sort of on the enamored thing of being, you know, a black woman and a non-black. But after that, it just goes like any other relationship. That is not the crux of my relationship with my husband. He'll do the same thing that many men do. He'll do stuff that gets on your nerves,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and they'll do really nice stuff, you know, and stuff. And you'll have arguments and fights like everybody else, and, you know, and you'll, you know, I mean, it's just a regular relationship. And I remember some black woman telling me many, many years ago, when I was saying something about dating white men, and she said, well, what happens when he calls you the N-word? And I was like, who? And I was like, who? And I was like, listen, no. And I was like, listen, never. I was like, first of all, I've never had that happen. But if it happened, we wouldn't have no relationship no more. That would be, you know, that's a sign of, you know, disrespect and abuse.
Right.
It's just not
right.
going to happen here.
Right.
And stuff, you know. But I've never had that happen. And the unfortunate part is, really, when I sort of look at stuff, you know, listen, it's actually been black men that have called me the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
Way more
mm-hmm.
than white men.
That's correct.
And so, you know, I was like, but I've never had that happen before. This is just a regular relationship. No, when people fight, we don't start throwing racial slurs at one another. This is a relationship. So it's based on respect.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, and even when you're angry at somebody, you know, we don't go there and stuff. So But that's really my big things, you know, is mm-hmm. just, you know, this is just a regular relationship, and you can't be intimidated, and you have, you know, I see so many great, awesome black women here, you know. I know so many from Facebook and Twitter and, you know, and in my own life and stuff, you know. I just don't want them to get cheated.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, and I yeah. just right. don't want them to be, you know, or sitting around waiting for your black prince to come and you're like 50. You know, and
right.
stuff, and
right.
you know, it's just, it's like, why not get out here mm-hmm. and, you know, and get out here and be in the midst of people and find somebody based on some character and stuff and have a happy life and a happy relationship and, you know, like everybody else, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff. Don't sit around here waiting for a sitting around here waiting for a matching set, you know. Why would I do that? And people always ask me, well, why did you do it? I did this because I wanted to do it. This is what
right.
I wanted.
Correct.
So this mm-hmm. is what I did, you know.
Correct.
I wasn't really worried about other people and what other people thought. This was my life.
Yeah.
You didn't have to live my life. Only I had to live my life.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't like it, well, that was a personal problem, and I suggest you take care of that personally, you know. But this was my life, and this is what I wanted, and I don't feel bad. I don't ask anybody else to justify their choices. I don't justify mine. I'm not mad. I'm not a black woman that's mad at black men if they pursue other women. I care less. If that's what you want, I care less. That's you, you know.
Exactly.
And I care less why you did it. That's your business too. Okay, this is my business.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
you know, and you're right.
And
you know, one thing you would say about that, and I do want to address that before we let you go, because we know those babies need to be fed.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that you used to say, and I really latched onto it, and I take it with me when I'm doing the page, when someone asks me a question.
Mm-hmm.
When we say, because you have said before, I don't care what black men are doing, and how you mean that is, God bless them for the freedom to do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I don't mm-hmm. care, as in it doesn't make me mad. I don't get angry. I don't care who you're with. It has
mm-hmm.
nothing to do with you not liking them or being upset with them. It's just you doing your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get those type of questions, I always go back to the young person, the young lady I'm speaking to, and say, what you ought to do is, if you're having these thoughts, step back and take a page from your black brothers, because they date who they want.
Yeah.
And they don't care what you think.
Yeah.
You, if you look at a lot of the swirl pages, and you know we are,
yeah.
we are specific for black women.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go over and look at the other swirl page, they
yeah.
have their white women, their Asian women, they are grinning back, they are cheesing, they got their children, they are happy.
Care
and they don't care
yeah.
what you think. So, and that doesn't mean they don't like you. They just don't care what you think.
Same.
And I will tell them, take a page from them.
Right.
Take a page from their book. Well,
many, I think maybe a couple of years ago, I wrote that blog telling black women, it said, black women be like black men. And black women were like, what? I was like, listen, they don't care. I said, you talk about some folks that's really not given two hecks about what you think about what they're doing. When I first moved to Seattle, I saw black men and non-black women
everywhere.
I mean, they were on every corner.
Yeah.
They were everywhere, booed up, snuggled up, kissing, whatever they was doing. They was living their lives with not giving a care. And when I first got to this town, and this is how I know it's really changed. When I first got to this town, I couldn't dig up a black woman that would date a non-black man. They was all upset and mad because these men were dating other women, but they wouldn't date anybody else. And
right.
they thought I was crazy. And I'm like, well, listen, y'all sitting at home every Saturday night, you know, eating Chunky Monkey, watching Love Jones. I'm not, you know, and stuff. I'm out here, you know, I'm out here living my life and stuff. And I could not, I mean, I couldn't find, I did make a friend when I first got here, and she was a person that she dated who she wanted to date, but she was from Louisiana. No, of all things. She was from Louisiana and had moved up here and stuff. And I was like, what is wrong with these women? And she was like, I don't get it. She said, I don't understand what they're waiting for. She said, because these men don't seem in the least bit concerned about them. And it as hasn't been until recently, maybe the last 5 or 6 years, that I've gone out in Seattle and I see more and more black women, well, almost more black women than I see black men, and black women with non-black men. I mean, and they're with all sorts of men. They're with all sorts of men. And they got their little babies. And everywhere we go, me and my husband go, we're like, you know, because we, you know, it's just something about being, when you're in an interracial relationship and you see like an interracial relationship like yours, you look at each other like, we be looking at each other like, okay, you know, I said, you almost want to say, hey, you know, hey, I'm in the club too. Hey, I'm in the club too. And stuff, you know, but you see them and stuff. And so we're everywhere we go, we see all sorts of, you know, all sorts of relationships. We're at the bank, we're opening up a new bank account, and we're at the bank and we're sitting there, and our banker, he's a white guy, and we're sitting there with him, and he's doing the bank stuff, and then we look over to the side and see the little picture. His wife, she's African American, beautiful, beautiful dark skinned woman with some long braids, and they had their little baby in there. Aww. And we were looking at each other, and my husband and I were like looking at him, and I was like Matt, and he was like, what? And I was like, look, and he was like, oh, and you know, and stuff, and you know. But now it's coming to the point where literally I don't even notice folks no more. I'm just like, okay, y'all, I don't, it's like, it's becoming so normal that I barely even notice people and stuff. So, and I was just like, oh, this is so great, you know, because when I first got here, all I knew was a bunch of lonely black women that were, you know, that were waiting for, you know, well, you know, I mean, I wish black men, they taking all our men. You're not taking nobody. Nobody belongs to me. I don't belong to anybody else. I have no possession over anyone, you know, and stuff. You're not taking anybody. You can't take anything that doesn't belong to me. It's not mine. It really isn't. It's not mine.
That's correct.
So I never felt that way. Like, you're taking something from me because it's not mine to possess. I can't possess this person. They have the right to be with whomever they want to be with.
Absolutely.
And stuff, you know, and stuff. And, you
Absolutely.
Know, and my brother is married to a white woman, and I've got a beautiful biracial niece out of there. And I mean, I love her to death. Anybody that could be with my brother, I was like, girl, you cool. Cause he's hard to get along with. I'm like, girl, you're good. Okay. And you know, and she just gave me a big baby shower and stuff. And I love my sister-in-law. So, you know, hey, I'm just, y'all, everybody, I'm like, everybody needs to do them, you know, and stuff. And I can't, as long as you're not dissing me as a black woman because you're in a relationship with somebody that's not black, as long as you're not dissing me, hey, we don't have any problem. I don't have no problem with
I'm
who,
with you.
With who you're with. Now, when you start talking about me, and you know, and your mama is black, listen,
that's a
then
different
we
story.
Got it. Then we got an issue. Yeah. Then we got
Absolutely.
An issue.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but other than that, I could care less. I hope y'all happy, you know.
Right.
I hope y'all happy.
And I agree. And wish you the best. Wish you all the best. I don't want anything bad to happen to a really good, whether it's interracial or not. I like for relationships to work if that's what you want. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, like, we've got these men out here, you know, like you said, black women said, well, there are no men out here. Oh, I said, there are plenty of men out here. You just have to open your eyes and make some different changes and some different choices, but you can get them. And the one thing that I do have noticed, even with the white guys that I work with, they tend to, when they come to talk to me about interracial relationships, because several of them are interested in pursuing that, the one thing I have to give these guys credit for, they are into, when I say black women, they are not into a stereotype of looks. They're not looking for Halle Berry. Of course, they tell me if they could get Halle Berry, they would. But they're not looking for Halle Berry or anyone like that. They want that beautiful, they said, one guy said, I just want that beautiful black woman with that beautiful curly, thick hair that she wears in an afro. I'm sitting here watching a white guy say what he loves most about who we look like. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here in fascination listening to him talk about what, how he likes his, you know, how he likes for his woman to look, because everybody has a preference for looks. And he said, I just like her to be beautiful. I said, what is beautiful to you? Oh, that beautiful afro and that beautiful cocoa skin and that curvy figure, all of those beautiful things. And he said, you know, those things that make you also beautiful. And I was fascinated by that. I said, because I didn't grow up hearing that.
Right.
That's not what I heard. You know, mm-hmm. And it takes a while to get into that. And I often say, Eugenia, I said, how incredible is it for a young man like this to actually say, hey, this is beautiful to me. And we don't even say that about ourselves. Yeah. And we got to get you out of here because we want you to come back.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I think Michelle asked about me talking about raising the twins, which
yes.
I've got definite ideas about how we're going to raise these two boys and Axel and Lionel. We've named them already, and that's what I call them. And we know who is who. So we know which is which and stuff. And I've got definite ideas about how to raise, you know, how we're going to try to raise, well, have to raise two boys. That's one challenge, is trying to raise two boys into honorable men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then trying to raise, you know, biracial children
right.
and stuff, you know, which is a lot different, and I think a lot easier today than it would be in years past. And there's a lot more, you know, options. There's a lot more information about how do you raise biracial children and stuff, you know, and stuff.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah, I'll be more than happy to come back and talk about that. More than happy to come back and talk about this too.
Well, oh, absolutely.
Definitely, yeah, we got some
great stuff to tell us. You really do.
Yeah. So, and I, like I say, I'm so honored that you guys asked me to be on and stuff. You know, this is, like I say, I haven't been doing this in a while with the babies and all this stuff, but it's really nice to, you know, to talk about it and really to talk about the changes I sort of see happening with interracial dating for black women and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. and the blogging and the stuff too, which I don't really do many blogs anymore and stuff. 'Cause as Adrian said, it's kind of there's a lot more drama than I think is necessary
yeah.
and stuff. And I want to do stuff that's more empowering and stuff. But that's why I do the Swirl World, because you guys, you know, are always positive and really empowering and stuff, you know, and I love to see that. I'd like to see more of that.
Thank you. We work hard at remembering that we don't need to tear one another down, or like you say, go into, lay into you to help you. We need to be honest. We need
yeah.
to be truthful, but we
yeah.
need to show you that we care about you.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
just want you to know we care. And one of the things this world loves to do is to let the naysayers know there are plenty of black women out here that have found good men.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That found great mates and stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's nothing like telling the truth in love, but yeah, I want to see some positive. I want to see a lot of positive stories, because I want to be able to tell black women, see, there are black women just like you. You don't mm-hmm. have to be a movie star. You don't have to look like a movie star or nothing like that. You don't have to even look a certain way, you know, and
right,
stuff.
Right.
You can just be you, whoever it is that you are. Somebody is out there that wants that, you
yeah,
know,
absolutely.
You don't have to do anything. Yeah, you don't have to do anything.
Absolutely.
Really, really special. I'm 5'8", and when I got pregnant with these children, I needed to lose some weight. But Mr. Berg always tells me, you look fine. You look great. You're the sexiest woman in the whole wide world. You're just, you're so awesome and stuff. You look, you know, you're, and he's always, and I'm just like, really? I'm not feel, and he's like, you look fine. You look great. There's nothing wrong with you.
That's beautiful.
And stuff, you know. So,
I love that.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. That
that's
is
how it should be. That's how it should be.
Yeah. So, you
that,
know,
that
like,
is.
Yeah. Like, now, if you want to do something for yourself,
that's
you
okay.
do it for your, yeah, you do it for yourself. But, you know, don't think that there's not somebody out here that's looking exactly for you.
Or
they're
for
looking
you.
For you and stuff, you know. So, you know,
you're right.
I spread. Now that's something I definitely want to let black women know, you know, all the, you know, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, and you got to look like this, and you got to look like that,
nope.
and you got to, you know, you got to dress like this, and you got to, you know, and stuff. And, you know, no, you don't, you really don't. We need more of you. We need less of everybody looking like Stepford Wives.
Thank
and
you.
We need more of you.
Yeah.
We need, you know,
100%.
We need your uniqueness and stuff. And who knows what I'll do and what I'll look like and what'll happen. You know, I'm doing my natural hair thing now. But I can tell somebody, you know, that, hey, in 2 days, I'll be like, I don't want to do this no more. Let me do something else.
Hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
You're doing you. And your man knows that, you know. And, and you know, the thing that Michelle and I both laugh at, because we've had people say, you know, these women keep sending in all their pictures of them with their guys, you know, and stuff like that. The majority, Eugenia, of the pictures that get sent in, it's the men sending them. The men send in those pictures, and they're the ones that are saying, this is the love of my life. I can't live without her.
Isn't that awesome?
It's awesome. They, and those women have.
They have, That love and pride in this woman that they've found, you know, the special person that they found, which is just the way it should be. Isn't that awesome? That
it
it's,
is
you
awesome.
Know. Yeah, that it's like that. Yeah, it's not the, you know, like, I think people think, oh, it's the women that are doing all. But isn't it awesome? Yeah, this man has, I just like, you know, this man has found this really special prize and this wonderful woman that, you know, he's building a life with and stuff, you know. And, you know, that's the way it should be. That's the way, and that's the way I really want it to be. For all black women, every black woman, I'm thinking, now everybody, you know, I know that everybody don't want a relationship, everybody don't want to be married, fine, but everybody that does, this is the way that it should be, and the way that it can be, you know, this is not impossible, that I did not, you know, I did not get some sort of, you know, it's not like I'm some sort of, as they say, special snowflake, this is not just something that just happened to me, and I like to have that too, where I send folks to places where they can see just regular everyday, because that's who we are, just regular everyday people that have fallen in love and are having a wonderful, happy life.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, that's the way it should be.
Absolutely. Something that you said that stays with me as we close out is, I just want to see black women happy and smiling.
I remember
you saying that, and that has always stuck with me.
That's it. That's all. I just want to see them happy. That's it. So, and however you're happy, that's whatever it is that brings you that joy. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. I want to see more carefree black women. That's what I want to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
Michelle.
Well, all right, we're gonna let Eugenia go. It's been so much fun talking to you,
and thank you guys.
You know, it's like talking to your girlfriend, just sitting,
really,
you know, in the living room with some Cokes or in Starbucks with some coffee, and just having a good conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
We definitely want you to come back. We had discussed having Eugenia come back to talk about raising biracial children. And there are a lot of other subjects that I think our listeners would really learn if they listen to what she has to say. So we're definitely going to have her come back.
Well, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I will definitely I will definitely be happy, more than happy to come back. And I'm more than happy, as I always say, I'm more than happy to talk about things I know about. Now, stuff I don't know about, I don't talk about. But stuff that I know about, I'm more than happy to talk about.
Not a problem.
Exactly. Well, we're going to sign off now. And we just want you to know to
thank
stay
you
tuned
for joining this World World broadcast brought to you by theswirlworld.com. Please
come
take
back,
a minute
remember,
to visit our website and join our
better.
Growing community by subscribing.
Bye,
you
Eugenia.
Can also visit the Swirl World
bye-bye.
On Facebook.
Bye, Adrian.
If you haven't already,
bye,
please subscribe
guys.
To
bye-bye.
The podcast.
Bye-bye.
Until next time, remember, life is better. In this World World, keep swirling.
Endless passion for interracial love.
Find us on Facebook.
Facebook.com/The Swirl World.
The Swirl World. Swirling as it should be.